Welcome to World Cafe, Words and Music from WXBN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. Fascinating guy joins us on the show today, Brother Ali. He is from the upper Midwest, living now in Minneapolis. He is an albino Muslim rapper who has recently released his third album overall, simply called Us. And I started our in-depth conversation by asking about how he got involved with hip-hop. I had heard that as a kid he was fascinated by breakdancing.
Yeah, I got involved in hip-hop in 84. When I got, you know, just kind of left my yard, like you have to left my parents' house and wanted to explore the world for myself. And there were kids in our neighborhood that were older than us and didn't really have any kind of supervision in their house at all. I'd never saw an adult at their house in the in the year that we lived there. And they were B-boys, they were breakdancers. And, you know, that was the first time I ever saw weed. And that was the first time I ever saw people drink and, you know, it was just wild fights and, you know, the whole thing. And, but, you know, I was really attracted to the dance at first and, more and more started listening to the music. I was only 7 and 8 years old, but really started listening to the music, memorizing the words, and started noticing the difference between people who were really amazing with the word and then people who were just kind of, it was filler. They were almost just kind of like another instrument. And, you know, then when I got around 12 and 13 years old, this big, boost happened, both with the production of hip hop music, but then the lyricism, the storytelling, the topics that were starting to be introduced. It just got a lot more diverse and a lot more serious in a lot of ways. You know, they talk about the golden era of hip hop. I believe there's several of them, and I believe that we're in one now. But most of the people, when they talk about the golden era, they're talking about the late 80s. You know, 87, 88, 89.
This new album, Us, which I understand was originally called Street Preacher, right?
Yeah.
Has, man, you name a topic of social import today and it's on here. You're so inclusive with this record. Was that one of the things you were setting out to do?
Well, it's been kind of an interesting road, you know. I mean, we're in a new kind of unique situation in the development of hip hop and the evolution of hip hop, where there's a new audience that listens to underground independent hip hop that was never felt like hip hop had included them before. And so, you know, they're not from the traditional hip hop background. And I'm in a unique situation where half of my life was in that background and half wasn't. You know, and so I've been able to kind of tell my story through my music up until I made this album. And I would have these kids, these suburban college students, come and tell me that they really felt like my story was about them. And initially it really was, it kind of took me back a little bit because I didn't understand how these kids were hearing a story about, you know, an albino Muslim, you know, legally blind, single, homeless dad, struggling hip hop artists from the Midwest. You know, this is like, these are not your details. Why are you hearing yourselves in these stories? I was glad, you know, as an artist, you just want somebody to listen. And so I was happy that, and I felt like the connection that we had was really real. But I started to figure out, you know, from years of touring and putting out all these CDs and stuff, that it's really just the emotion in the song. And it's really just the feeling and the mood. And, you know, because no matter how we get to those emotions, we all have the same emotion. I started feeling like, okay, if these kids can relate to my stories, can I stretch that connection a little bit further and tell the stories of the people around me who really raised me and made me the person that I am? And can I, you know, but I know that a lot of my listeners, they don't have these up close and personal experiences like I do. And so I wanted to talk about my relationships with these people and approach it in the same personal way that I was telling my own story and see if I could make my fans hear themselves in a, you know, somebody that they would call a drug dealer or somebody that they would call a crackhead or somebody that they would call a prostitute. I was trying to see if we could stretch this connection a little bit further to make us really realize how alike we are.
Well, Us started out as a preacher, and there's, I guess, one of the tracks that's left over from that concept is the one, The Preacher?
Yeah, we kept that title all the way through until the album was complete. And then we got to the end. I said, this is a great album. I'm really proud of it. I really feel good about it, but something's off. And once we changed the title, it made sense. Yeah.
So you can do the preacher?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, y'all. If you know me, you know I love my family, love my God. For my new either, I love my heart. I'm married to the pin till death do us part. I rock hard with all my heart. College bras, call me avant-garde. Probably cause I'm all off the chart. Only thing happy about me is what my Puerto Rican mommy called me when she owned me. And the for me is all I let y'all see. I believe I rock it properly. Obviously, a lot of y'all agree. Remind me what the plug can stop, I leave. Only me as far as I can see. Line 3 of my philosophy. By BGP, it apply to me. 2, I'm a sister, gotta lead a crew. That mean the true people that believe in you and hold you down and do what they need to do. Street preacher, say you don't believe what these people teach or me neither. He who follow his dream is deemed leader. Freedom fighter means the peacekeeper. See me creeping up in the pulpit with a full clip to speak to the people. May I suggest you just believe, dude. Everything you speak on really true. He's proved he will never mislead you. Treat you as nothing less than equal. That's why they call me Brother Ali too. The feeling always seems to bleed through. No kidding, I get it into the beat through. No kidding, I'm feeling everything we do. Rap be fool, so see through. They don't like the hoops, they gotta lead through. So they turn on each other like the weak do. You little beat you, me fool, me too. I came here to turn the party out. Y'all know just what I'm all about. My crew throw down without a doubt. We here to make y'all holler out. And turn the party out. Y'all know just what I'm all about. My crew throw down without a doubt. We here, let me hear y'all holler out. Rest assured, I'm the best to do it. In my neck of the woods, hell yes, I'm good. You can give me any dress, I prove it, no question. Let this be a lesson to you. A superior, send a message through the airwaves. Your way, fool, just accept it. Matter of fact, consider it a blessing. I won't rest in a moment. Say, press play, this jam coming, cave your chest in. There's a couple more things I want to know. Y'all been violating the rapper code. Can't just walk around here acting bold. Gotta earn respect to brag and boast. Still get to that, not swagging clothes. Chin might get tapped, a cracking nose. Fall back for y'all collapse. Me, I'm an artist, all of y'all are acts. That's why my heart bleed all on the track. Tell me what the hell's wrong with that. Y'all for playing them raw dogging that. I lead the way cause y'all lost the path. My dialogue is all about the facts. That's why my stories are hard to match. Never been afraid at all, follow that. Turn the party out. Y'all know just what I'm all about. My crew throw down without a doubt. We here, let me hear y'all out around. And turn the party out. Y'all know just what I'm all about. My crew throw down without a doubt. We here, let me hear y'all out around. Preacher in here this evening. Let me see our hands if you believe them. I don't know, but I got this feeling. These people need some healing. There's just so few real ones. I got just what you're seeking. That diamond can't keep sleeping. Wake up and touch that breeze.
Brother Ali is our guest today on the World Cafe, and that is Preacher from the new album, Us. So you want to do something earlier? What would you like to do now?
Yeah, this is I think, the song that I got my initial little bit of attention from, Uncle Sam, Damn. And this is a song that got me a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, what happened with this?
Well, I mean, a few things. I was scheduled to do a tour of colleges with the hip-hop group Gym Class Heroes, who is a group that came from underground independent hip-hop, and they ended up having a few songs that made it really huge, really, really big. But they still kind of kept their aesthetic, you know what I mean, and they still kept their work ethic of underground, you know, music. And they still, you know, they show up at our shows. They're really still supportive of everything in the underground. So I got asked to do this tour of colleges that would have been really good for me financially, but then also just that exposure of people that really don't even listen to hip hop, but they love Gym Class Heroes. And they told me, you can come and you can do your full set. You can do whatever you want. You do what your normal thing. And I was really looking forward to it as a really great opportunity. And, we made a song for this video, Uncle Sam, Damn, and we did the video in Washington, D.C., showed up guerrilla style with cameras, dressed in all black, performing this song at the White House and at these memorials. And we would just go until we got kicked out. You know, eventually they would kick us out, but they didn't take our footage from us, so we made a video. And the sponsor for that tour ended up kicking us off the tour based on that. On that video. Also, we had some kind of interesting interactions overseas. Department of Homeland Security actually froze our bank account one time when we were overseas performing. There was a wire transfer that went from Australia to Minneapolis to our bank account, and the Department of Homeland Security intercepted it and froze our bank account until we provided them with everybody in my staff, all of our social security numbers, addresses. We had to give them our entire schedule for the year of everywhere we were performing. And it was just very, very interesting. And I'm not sure if it was just because of the name Brother Ali, which is likely, you know, because I'm randomly searched at the airport 4 times out of 5, you know what I mean? It's very random. But, you know, I don't know if it had anything in particular to do with making protest music, you know, but I'm friends with Chuck D and I'm friends with Boots Riley and I'm friends with Immortal Technique, people that are known for making protest music. And every single one of them has had contact with, you know, the FBI or with Department of Homeland Security for the music that they made. So there's a question mark as to what brought that on.
Is it your name or is it this song?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Can you do that one?
Yeah, let's do it. Name of the song is Uncle Sam Damn. There's another little syllable in there that we leave out. Because we're on the radio, you know. Your children might be in your car, they don't need to hear something albino dude say that stuff. It's based on a song by Nina Simone called Mississippi Damn. She said it was a show tune, but the show hadn't been written for it yet. So we know how to follow the lead of great leaders. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do this thing for real now. Smoking meal with stripes and stars, stolen for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud, written to the pages of the law, good Lord. The cold continent, latchkey child, ran away one day and started acting foul. King of where the wild things are, daddy's proud. The Roman Empire done passed it down. Imported and tortured the workforce. Never healed the wounds and shook that curse off. Not a grown-up Goliath nation. Holding open auditions for the part of David. Can you feel it, y'all? Nothing can save us. We question the rain. We got rushed in and chained up. Fist raised, but I must be insane. I can't figure single damn way to change it, y'all. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, the dollar is sacred and power is God. All must bow to the fat and lazy. The f*** you obey me and why do they hate me? Who me? Only 2 generations away from the world's most despicable slavery trade. Pioneered so many ways to degrade a human being that it can't be changed to this day. Legacy so ingrained in the way that we think we no longer need change to have slaves. Lord, it's a shameful display. The overseers even getting raped along the way. Cause their children can't escape from the pain. They born with this poison, this hatred in their veins. Try to separate a man from his soul. You only strengthen him and lose your own. But shoot that sucker if he walking in a throne. Remind him that this is my home, now gone. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The Grand Imperial Guard, the dollar is sacred. Let me talk to you for a minute. We ain't giving money to the bums on the corner with the sign bleeding from their gums. And say it's cause we don't support a crackhead. What you think happens to the money from our taxes? The government's an addict. Except they got $1 billion a week killing brown people habit.
Obama said he'd bring the troops back, and I love that man, but when the hell's that gonna happen? Shooting, still hustling backwards. At the end of the year, add up what they subtracted. 3 out of 12 months, my salary pays for that madness. Man, that's savage. What's left? Get it, big ass plasma. Check out where they made Dan Rather point his damn camera. Only approved questions get answered. Stand yourself up for that national anthem, y'all. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The grand imperial guard where the dollar is sacred, power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the thief and home of the slave. The grand imperial guard, the dollar is sacred, power is God.
Uncle Sam Dam from Brother Ali, who's playing live for us today on the cafe, and that one goes back a ways to Undisputed Truth. And when did you convert to Islam, and what was that experience like for you?
Well, I was always a really spiritual person, even as a kid, and there were questions that I had about the church that I was in. When I got 13, 14 years old, you go through the confirmation process where you take the class at the church and you learn the religion for yourself. And then at the end of the class, you decide to either join the church as an adult or not. So I got to the end of the class and I was really interested. And it was a really, really well taught, well facilitated class where they taught us about overall Christianity. And we visited a lot of different types of churches. And I really felt like the people that were teaching that class were engaging me on some of the things that didn't sit right with me. I got to the end of the class, and my mother planned a party for my confirmation. And I said, "Wow, you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit, because I don't think that I'm going to join this church." And she said, her reaction was not good. "Why are you doing this to me? And why are you trying to embarrass me and all this stuff?" I said, "I'm not trying to embarrass you. I actually don't believe in what I'm being taught completely. I believe in the core of the message, which is love and forgiveness and things like that. But I didn't believe in it completely." And so I felt like a disrespect to the man that taught the class, because I respected the fact that he believed in what he was teaching. And for me to join this church when I don't believe it completely felt like a really terrible way to repay him for trying to share with us what he loved so much. And but my mother made a deal with me, and I'm 14. I can't make a deal. I have to pretty much go along with whatever she says. And she probably felt the same way at that point. But we were kind of at each other's mercy. And she said, "If you let me do this party for your relatives and your grandparents and stuff, you never have to go back to church again." Which was a really weird way to depart Christianity. You know what I mean? Like on a completely just facade, and so I started looking at different religions. Malcolm X was always a huge hero to me, probably one of the greatest heroes in my life, even to this day. And so I was really interested in Islam, and at that time I was reading his autobiography, and when I got to the end of it, I loved him at every stage of his life. I was so impressed thoroughly by him at every stage of his life. But when I got to the end, the things that he was saying resonated when he became an Orthodox Muslim, and was on his own. He was independent. He wasn't underneath the tutelage of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad anymore. And he was able to speak his own words, think his own thoughts, and start his own movement. The things that he was saying at the end of that book touched me in a way that made things clear for me in a way that had never happened before. I had a lot of anger and a lot of confusion and a lot of frustration surrounding the topic of race. And all throughout the book, I really, in a strange way, really in a very human way, I think. I don't think it's that strange. It was strange to other people, but to me it was just human. I really related with his anger and with the things that he was saying. I believed them to be true from the experiences that I had. And so when he got to the end of the book and said, I was mistaken, that, nobody is born
bad that I believe, you know, that there a number has been done on this country in particular, on the world really, but in America, people are taught this supremacy and inferiority complex before they have the opportunity to make decisions for themselves. So I started studying Islam, and the more that I learned, the more I realized that what I thought I knew wasn't correct at all. I thought it was a very militant, strict religion, very dogmatic, and very extreme. And what I learned was really to the contrary. I thought it was going to be the opposite of Christianity. You know, I thought that this was the thing that I was going to get into that was going to help me be mad at Christianity. And I started reading things in the Quran like there are Christians that God loves as much as he loves Muslims and Jewish people and people who their religion doesn't have a name, which would probably call themselves agnostic or just spiritual people that just believe in goodness, that God loves those people. And all of these concepts that I was learning that I always wanted to believe, and I just needed something to put it in words for me, you know. Some people don't need that, and I respect that as well. But at that age, and even in my life now, I appreciate that. And it gave me a really great excuse. All of my friends were thugs, and they were, you know, shooting dice and, you know, the fights and, you know, people getting stabbed, and my friends were getting shot, selling drugs, shooting people. I had friends that, you know, murdered people when I was a teenager. And, I have friends that, it's right now, you know, I'm in my 30s, and I got friends that are just now getting out of prison from that I went to high school with. And, crack was still going on and all of these things. And I love these people that I was around, but I felt like this lifestyle is disingenuous for me, similar to Christianity. I felt like my friends are living this life because they don't feel like they have options. And so for me to do this and knowing that I do have some options is disrespectful to them. I felt the same way. But what I needed was, or what I felt like I needed at that time, was an excuse to not do these things that they would respect. And they all respected Islam. You know what I mean? So that, you know, they would all be passing the weed around, and when it would get to me, they'd be, oh, don't give him that. He's a Muslim. You got to respect that. You know what I mean? And just saying, hey guys, I don't think I want to get high. I don't like the way it makes me feel. You know, come on, you get laughed off the block. You know what I mean? But if you're a Muslim, that gave you a perfectly good excuse to not do those things. And so it was a lot of things that went into it. But the more that I've grown into it, the more that I really feel like it's informed me as an individual so much. And I'm so appreciative of it.
So now you got kids of your own. So what are you going to do when they don't come to whatever the figurative confirmation party might be?
I would hope that I create the goal is to right now just create communication and connection over and above anything else, you know what I mean? Over discipline, over anything. Number one is just please communicate with me. Please, you know, I'm trying to really, my son in particular, who's 9 and has had a really kind of rough life, some of it being my fault, but really trying to just create a bond between us and a trust between us where we feel like we can be honest with each other and value each other's thoughts and feelings and opinions and stuff like that. So, if we're at that place and he really is feeling strongly that he doesn't want to practice Islam, that'll be his choice at that point. You know what I mean? But I would hope that it's not just to rebel against me. You know what I mean? I would hope that, you know, you can't control those kind of things, I guess.
Absolutely not. Brother Ali is our guest today. And, odd segue, but speaking of things you can't control, your albinism is kind of is something that has defined you from day one.
Yes, it has.
Defined you as outsider of a lot of groups.
Yeah.
And has it been the major thing in forming your worldview or not?
I think it started out being that. I think that, you kind of, I have this belief that you always revert at some stage of your understanding of the world, that you always go back to the first time that you were ever self-aware enough to see yourself in relation to the outside world. You know what I mean? And maybe that's just because that's how I see it, but I really do believe that. And my first interaction with the world was really
as a little kid, 6 and 7 years old, you know, 5 or whatever, going to school, feeling completely alone and because of the way that I look. You know, when you're in school and you are an albino, have albinism, you might as well be a leper. You know what I mean? In terms of the way that you're treated, you know what I mean? You're untouchable. And I felt completely ostracized, you know? And it was, I had an experience in second grade where a lady that worked at my school, she was the lunch person and she did recess and stuff like that, understood what I was going through. And she used to come and sit with me at lunch and teach me things about the way that I should view myself. This was a elder African-American lady. And she explained the world to me in a way that made me feel like I could live in it and that I could be happy in it at 7 years old. And that kind of started me on this path of, you know, I think inadvertently I started seeking out Black folks as my new family. And I always was accepted, embraced, taught, loved, taken care of, you know, not ridiculed. It was just such a completely different setting, you know what I mean? But I was truly taught everything that I believe, everything that I really value, and from the time that I was six, seven years old until now, you know what I mean? And then I would go around, you know, when I would be in majority white situations, I would feel this really strange feeling of not belonging, not relating, not trusting the people that I was around. And because I would hear the way that they spoke about people of color. And it would vary from, you know, blatantly racist, you know what I mean, to people who would tell you that they're not racist because they don't say the N-word. They would never burn a cross. They would vote for Barack Obama. Some of their best friends are Black, they would tell you. But when you hear their subconscious thought stream, there's evidence that, and this is not everybody, but, you know, you would hear a core belief inside them that they believe that they were convinced in some weird way that a person of color is not as valuable a human being, not as intelligent, not as creative, not as morally sound. And this contrast between me being taught and embraced and really all of my good, warm, positive feelings about life, it felt like at that time, you know, and as a kid, you see things in a really kind of extreme way, I think. It seemed so literally black and white to me. And then going around, being around white folks in an all-white environment where it's safe to say what we really think, you know, and it created this situation inside me because my family is white, you know what I mean? And that I was really confused and really frustrated and really sad. I was sad about the whole thing, about the whole thing really, and angry. And it really took, you know, Islam helped me a lot, but then also touring and making this music helped me a lot because I, in music you work with who's talented and who will do the work, and you don't discriminate based on anything. So music is, and being with musicians is where I started having white people that I really truly trust 100%. And when I get to meet my fans and talk to them and my listeners, you know, I really realize that I think they're coming from a really sincere place too, and that they just were not exposed to the things that I was exposed to. People are realizing that it's time to get in touch with being a human being, and it's time to put being human in front of race. But it's still very uncomfortable because there's a lot of conversation that needs to happen, and there's a lot of looking in the mirror that needs to happen.
Brother Ali, his album is called Us. We had so much fun talking with Ali that we didn't have time for a couple of more performances, which you can find at our website, worldcafe.npr.org, as web extras. I'm David Dye, World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN, and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. There is more at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. Check it out. As always, we thank you for spending your time with the World Cafe.